in the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie. Come on. Okay, first of all,
the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to hour, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bowker.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, I'm talking to Justin Lawrence, has been competing as a professional MMA fighter for a few years in UFC, Strikeforce, RFA, was also on the Ultimate Fighter Live, and has a big fight coming up against AJ McKee Jr. going at Bellator 197, and that is happening on April 13th in the co-main event at Featherweight. How's it going there, Justin?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Dylan?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I was just wondering what your thoughts on AJ were as an opponent. I mean, he seems like one of the more, you know, surging contenders, one of the more, you know, regarded featherweight competitors in the Bellator ranks. So I imagine you're pretty happy about getting a fight of this magnitude.
Definitely. But at the end of the day, you can never believe the hype at MMA. You know, I was once called the Phenom. I was once called the Hyper. I was once called the Young Top Prospect, you know. But if you start believing the hype, it will get crushed. So yeah, I'm definitely excited for this fight here. I've been asking for this fight for a very long time. I'm ready to go. I've been training super hard, super healthy. Had a fight in January, getting a quick turnaround, which is always great. Allowed my weight to stay low. The most importantly, I'm 100% healthy, you know? I'm ready to go April 13th.
Yeah, for sure, and I certainly didn't mean to sound like I was, you know, gassing him up too much, or maybe didn't
have
any
more
skills in that situation.
But
yeah, and just more so from the perspective of if you get like a big, emphatic sort of win here, I imagine it positions you, you know, pretty comfortably in the Bellator featherweight title picture. Where do you see a big win, you know, propelling you in that contender positioning?
Yeah, I definitely think it'll put me in with the top five guys. You know, I think Emmanuel Sanchez is up there. He's up in the top five. I dropped a split decision loss to him, so I would love to get that fight back after McKee. But I mean, with that being said, I'm not looking over AJ McKee by any means, you know. But, you know, that's something down the road that I would definitely be hunting for, especially after a big win on Friday. You know, I really feel like I could really, you know, it really put me in that position to be asking for a fight like that. And if I do it in dominant fashion, I'll even have more pool, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you won the RFA featherweight title back in the day. So I imagine you want to, you know, get some gold around the waist again. I imagine it's getting a little cold there. And you got some wins in your last two outings. So you're getting some momentum going heading into this for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. And like I said, man, that's huge, you know, getting two dubs back to back. And then, like I said, the quick turnaround. You know, that's kind of been my biggest thing. You know, I can't fight once every 7 months. You know, I gotta be fighting a couple times a year to be getting in the groove. You know, you look at any other professional sports, they have seasons, they have multiple outings, and in those multiple outings, they get stronger, they get better, they get more chemistry, they start finding a better rhythm. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's something that's going to be happening here. I just had a 3-round fight in January. 2 months ago, and I'm back. 3 months ago, and I'm back here again. You know what I'm saying? Getting another big fight. So, yeah, man, you know, having the ball rolling and with momentum, it feels great.
Yeah, and you've been training for quite a while. I mean, I was noticing that you began training at the age of 6 with your stepdad there, and then you just really got rolling with a lot of, you know, Golden Gloves boxing and whatnot. And then I also noticed you began wrestling in the third grade as well. So, you know, seeing these certain things, I'm kind of curious if MMA was the end goal, you know, from the jump, because you're in a number of different disciplines here.
My uncle fought in UFC 10 in 1996 in Alabama. No one knew about the UFC. And I always wanted to do it one time with one weight when they had one weight class. And you had the option of where it was or not. I wanted to do it one time to say I've done it. And the next thing you know, at 14 years old, this whole sport exploded. It blew up at 14. This could, you know, my thing was I was going to be the next great white hope in boxing, try to put some boxing matches together. But now I've been wrestling and I've been fighting, and then it blew up at 14. I just thought it was a great fit for me, you know. So that's why I got into wrestling, was because my uncle, he was a wrestler when he fought me, the guy that fought in the UFC, Scotty Fiedler. You know, he was a wrestler. He's like, you got to wrestle. And I was a striker. My dad was a striker, boxer, kickboxer. And I hated wrestling for the longest time. But then eventually I got better at it, started feeling it, started understanding it. And now I love the sport, and it's turned into this, and it's been amazing. It's been an amazing ride.
No, that's really cool. I didn't even know that. So do you get any, like, cool stories from back in the day from your uncle, like, during the Wild West times? Does he have any, like, stories that he sort of, like, regales you with from, you know, way back when?
Yeah, dude. My dad told me that the night that Uncle Scott fought, it was when Don Fry and Mark Coleman fought. And he said Don Fry, when he came back from that 45-minute beating that he took, or 35-minute beating he took from Mark Coleman, he said Don Fry, when he came back to the locker room, his head was three times the size of it when he went out there taking the beating.
Oh, geez.
But it was the craziest thing that he's ever – yeah, it was everything. He just collapsed in the back.
That's an intense situation. I mean, a guy like Don Fry, you kind of expect that level of toughness from. Like, he's just so resilient.
Oh, man, it's war. It's a all-out war when he's in the cage or ring, man. I'll always sit down and watch Don Fry scrap, no matter how old he is.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a total beauty for sure. But I touched on some of your experience in the kickboxing and boxing ranks. I mentioned the St. Louis Golden Gloves distinctions there, but also in kickboxing, you have a number of different titles as well. So you seem pretty, you know, decorated in that regard. I'm kind of curious if you're interested in, you know, participating in a Bellator kickboxing fight, being that they have their own kickboxing brand.
Oh, yes, man. I've been asking for that for a while. And, I feel like that's definitely something I'm always trying to keep doors open to, you know. I'm always trying to put that in their ear, you know. Definitely trying to let them know that I'm always interested in a kickboxing fight. So if they have a 45er or anything like that, pull out, let me know, because I would love to step in there and put them 10-ounce gloves on and throw some head kicks here and there, you know. I think that would be fun and bring me back to my roots a little bit.
Yeah, and I imagine there was like a bit of a tease there in a sense, because you competed on the Bellator 157 card, which was their second Dynamite, and you got the victory over Isao Kobayashi there. So I imagine, you know, being in an environment like that on a, you know, hybrid card like a Dynamite, I imagine you're just, you know, chomping at the bit that much more to get a kickboxing fight, eh?
Oh, man, dude. Yeah, it was awesome to see all the Thai guys in there and just warming up the Thai pads and stuff. Yeah, that was quite the experience. And, man, it was pretty wicked to see the cage and ring side by side like that. It was very unique and something very different that you don't see a whole lot, you know. So yeah, it definitely gave me the idea too, you know, being on there and seeing that. It definitely was like, oh man, that's a great idea. I didn't even thought of that really, you know. And being around that, it definitely made me drop it in people's ears that were important in Bellator, to let them know that I'm always interested in a kickboxing match.
Yeah, and I mean, you've competed against some notable names on the circuit. I was noticing Wonderboy Thompson was also one of the people there that you had fought. And, you know, he's a pretty big guy, especially considering you've predominantly fought at, you know, featherweight and lightweight. I guess you're just all about, you know, testing yourself in the weight classes don't really matter so much there.
100%, man. You know, I remember being, you know, 15 years old and, you know, having 30-plus kickboxing fights. And at 15 years old, not a lot of kids have that. You know, they had maybe 4 or 5 fights, 10 fights. So a lot of people didn't want to fight me because I had 30, I was like 30 and 0. I was like 32 and 0 or something. 32 and 1 or something. I had a lot of fights. And so I had to always move up to the adult division when I was 15, 16 years old. I had to move up to the 18 and above. And yeah, me and Thompson, man, we've known each other for a while just from the IKF regional circuit and from the kickboxing and stuff. And my dad and his dad are great friends. And, we always keep in touch and we bump into each other here and there. And it's always great to rub elbows with those guys, man. You know, we go way back, you know, and they know how good I am and I know how good they are, you know. So it's just a mutual respect between us, you know.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's the beautiful thing about martial arts. I mean, you can be, you know, buddy-buddy with, like, competitors and stuff like that, and it's just – an environment of learning and respect for the most part. But I imagine a lot of confidence. Yeah, no doubt. I imagine a lot of confidence comes from that kind of kickboxing and Muay Thai experience, though. But you also probably got that from taking some of the amateur fights there. I was noticing you had a 5-0 record there in the amateur ranks before turning professional. So how key was that learning curve within amateur MMA to, you know, getting you ready to turn pro?
You know, I would have had a lot more amateur fights, I think. But I, you know, when I turned pro, I know it makes me sound like a whole dude saying this, but right when I was about to turn pro, I was probably 19, 20 years old. And that's right about the time YouTube started kind of really blowing up, and a couple of my fights got out on YouTube. So people would, you know, find out they would fight me locally, and like they would find some of my fights on YouTube, and they'd be like, no way, dude, we're not fighting this guy for nothing, you know, for free. You know what I'm saying? So that made me turn pro at a younger age, because a lot of guys, they wouldn't just fight me for no money. They would have to pay someone to fight me, obviously, because, you know. So that made me turn pro at 20 years old, you know, which I would have probably waited a couple more years if I could have, I think. Not taking anything, you know, taking anything back, you know, or anything, because I'm very happy where I'm at and everything. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was kind of the reason why I turned pro so young, and I only had 5 fights. But, you know, only 5 fights. I feel like it takes a solid 12 professional fights for you to really start clicking. Once you get after 12 fights, 12, 13 fights, you start really like understanding it almost, and what you got to do, and how the weight cut affects your fighting, and the preparation up to the fight, yada, 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 you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's kind of the reason why I only had 5 fights as an amateur. But, you know, I had a lot more fights than that, obviously. And I was kind of ready. I was ready. I was tired of, you know, getting my butt for free, beat up for free too, you know. I was wanting to make a little bit of money. But yeah, so it's been awesome, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just like the familiarity with the process, and I guess the, you know, mental solidarity and the confidence that comes from just, you know, going there, being at the dance so many times, and then you can just, you know, shine when it actually comes down to it. But I was noticing some of the different places you've trained at, and it was listing Black House as one of them, but also it seemed like Alliance MMA was, you know, like one of the bigger ones that was getting discussed there. So has that been the camp leading into this one as well? Have you still been over there in San Diego putting in that work with Dominic Cruz and Jeremy Stevens?
Oh, yep, 100%. I got Darren Caldwell with me as well, which I used him a lot for this camp.
Oh, nice.
Because he's a southpaw. And he's kind of long like AJ McKee, so it was a perfect fit. And he's a great guy, and he's a world champion. So a lot to learn from that guy. Yeah, I got Miles Jerry, Dominic Cruz, and Jeremy Stevens all right there in my back pocket, constant pushing me. Jeremy's actually going to be flying out with me to this fight. So he's like my brother, the older brother I've never had, man. So yeah, it's going to be great to have those guys with me out there fight week and just pushing me.
Yeah, no, it seems like you guys like retweet each other a fair bit and stuff like that. It seems like you and Jeremy Stevens are tight. And I guess it's good to have that kind of dynamic, like even beyond just, you know, being training partners. There's an actual, like, you know, friendship and rapport and everything like that. So probably makes for a great learning environment in the training room getting ready.
Oh, man, having a guy like Jeremy Stevens that has had, like, what, 29 UFC fights and at the highest level, I mean, having a guy like that as a great friend, a best friend, I mean, it's one of the best things I could ask for, because he's got every answer that you could ever ask for, you know, as far as fighting, you know. And, yeah, man, like, me and Jeremy beat the hell out of each other so much in the gym, dude. We got so much respect for each other because of that, you know, and that's what fighting is so amazing, man. Like, fighting solves everything, you know. You know, I respect the hell out of this guy if he's sweating and bleeding next to me, you know what I'm saying? Because he's doing the same thing as I'm doing, you know? So, yeah, man, it's definitely great to have those kinds of high-level guys with me constantly and pushing me. And it gives me confidence, too, when I take them down or I land a good combination on them. And it knows that I'm right there with those guys and I belong, you know? All I need is a great opportunity. Like, I have one right now, you know? And I got to seize an opportunity that I have coming up here on Friday. So, definitely, man. It's definitely great to have those guys with me in the same camp. That's why I'm out here. It's hard. I mean, my dad owned a gym. I had to leave my dad's gym because I didn't have the training partners that were going to push me. You know, that's why I moved out here, to have those guys to push me every day.
Yeah, and I understood that was a bit of a difficult process. I mean, obviously, someone who's, you know, family and they're involved in a coaching role like that, I imagine it can be difficult going into it. But it must have been good that your stepdad was, like, you know, pretty, you know, casual about the whole thing and was very encouraging. It was like, oh, yeah, you should go do that.
Yeah, it's a sign of a great coach. You know what I'm saying? A great coach will never hold you back. They will want the best for you. A coach that is selfish will hold you back and will keep them for themselves. And a lot of people... I see their coaches doing that. You know what I'm saying? And, I'm his son. So he wants the absolute best for me. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he pushed me out there. He's like, yeah, I think you need to go. Well, a lot of guys, especially if, you know, you're the top dog at the gym, you know, they're trying to keep those coaches are trying to keep those guys locally. Like, hey, no, don't go there. Stay here. You know? My dad was like, hey, go wrestle here at this gym. Go do jiu-jitsu at this gym and come do striking here. No one else would do that. So I was going to get mad wrestling here, and I was going to this gym there to get the grappling or the jiu-jitsu here, and I was going to my dad's for the striking. So I was able to cross-train all through St. Louis as a younger kid where all the other coaches were kind of beefing with each other and, like, you can't cross-train there because you might steal my guy. You know what I'm saying? So – my dad kept him cordial with everybody, so was able to, for me to go train everywhere and just grow. And that's, I feel like, why I've had a lot of success, a lot more success than some of the fighters in St. Louis. You know, a lot of the fighters that are doing well, like Tyron Woodley, Michael Chandler, me, they all got away, kind of, you know what I'm saying? We all kind of got away and grown on ourselves and grown somewhere else in a way, you know. At the end of the day, my roots will always be in St. Louis, but... I see my dad a great coach because he was, you know, allowed me to go out there and be like, hey, yeah, you need to go and go right now. And you're away at college, basically. This is your college right now. Go away at college and learn as much as you can, and you'll be back.
Yeah, and that's so key for sure. And there can be sometimes those blurred lines, especially if it's like a family member, maybe like some emotion can come into it. But glad your, you know, dad there was putting on the coach hat and everything like that. But it was touching on one of your best friends earlier, Jeremy Stevens. Kind of want to talk about your other best friend there, that powerful mullet you got there and your pictures there. You got a sponsorship related to that, like a Head and Shoulders sponsorship in the works, anything like that?
I need one. I've been hitting them up and treating them like, hey, look over here. No, I need one, man. Those tangles get rough after a nasty practice. But yeah, man, this glorious mane's ready to freaking fly on April 13th. Yeah, I'm repping. I'm holding it down for all the mullets out there.
Yeah, I know, it's a beautiful haircut. I definitely like to rock myself a mullet every now and again. And yeah, I know, it's a beautiful hairstyle. I wish it was more popular. But I was wondering what kind of music you like to jam out to while you're training there in the room there with guys like Jeremy Stevens and Dominic Cruz. Do you have like a partial like set of artists or genres, anything like that?
Dominic likes a lot of that rap stuff, so he'll put on that. I like Pantera, Walk, you know, I'll get, you know.
Nice, yeah.
I'll get after it on that stuff. You know, I like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll listen to just about anything. You know what I'm saying? I like the more heavier metal, Pantera and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Dominic Cruz is getting, like, a little bit of, like, Biggie and Tupac going on, and you're more like Sugar or something like that.
Yep, 100%.
No, it's a good dynamic. That sounds cool, man. But you've been really good with your time. Is there anything you want to add as we're wrapping up here?
No, man. I just want to say thank you. Praise the Lord, too. You know, without him, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And follow me on American MMA on all platforms, Twitter, IG, Facebook. Yeah, man, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and I hope people are ready for this one. You're taking on AJ McKee, and that goes at Bellator 197, co-main event, featherweight bout. It's happening on April 13th, and a lot of great insights. Thanks for the time, and hope you have a good rest of your day there, Justin.
Hey, man, thank you, and hey, awesome questions. I just want to say that. I'm going to throw that out there. You didn't drill me about the fight. You asked me some pretty awesome questions, and I appreciate that, dude.
Oh, no, well, I'm glad to hear that, man. I like to try to do something a little out of the norm, because I imagine it's, like, kind of boring to answer, like, the, you know, the same sort of, like, regurgitated questions. Probably gets a little tedious.
Yeah,
on your end,
yeah,
so.
It's all good. It's all good, but, yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate that.
Huh, yeah, no problem. I appreciate the sentiment, man. But, yeah, looking forward to the fight here, and I'm going to be definitely sitting there and checking it out when it goes on Paramount Network there. But, again, hope you have a good one, man.
Yeah, you too, brother. Have a good one.